Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Kevin Herb, Bob Buehner in the Sunbury Motors Studio this afternoon. Steve will be joining us with a host of guests today.
We've got some excitement here, Kevin, really. Right. Who's going to be on this afternoon with Steve and the team?
3:35, it'll be Merrill Reese, the voice of the Philadelphia Eagles. We'll get an update on where the Eagles stand going into their week one game with the Skins on Monday night.
And everybody wants to know across the NFL about this new coach, you know, who brings that Oregon offense. And so I think it'll be important to get some insights from Merle about where the Eagles are. Michael Vick.
On the Penn State Sports.
I was actually talking to Merrill when we were setting this up, and I said, have you been able to keep up with your voice with the tempo of the game? I said, does Mike Quick have a chance to even jump in? And he goes, it's been a bit of a challenge at times.
I think it's going to be a challenge for broadcasters, especially the color analysts, to get those words in edgewise, sideways, and every which way they can, because by the time they're done setting, you know, down in distance, the offense is up at the line.
On the 4:35 slot will be the Heisman Trophy winner from Penn State, John Cappelletti, scheduled to join us this afternoon. And his team will be honored this weekend at the home opener for the Nittany Lions.
And anxious to hear what Steve has to say to Cappy, you know, one of the most compelling and stirring stories in all of college football. I believe there was a movie made out of his family's life.
Yeah, there was a small movie in the late 70s that you might be familiar with.
Yeah, and I think we can ask Steve, hopefully he'll bring that up with Cappy. Be curious to see whether Cappy will be back in Happy Valley this weekend to celebrate that great team that he was so much a part of, but he was not the only player on that team.
On the left coast at the moment.
Yes. I think that goes back to his days with the Los Angeles Rams, when there was a Los Angeles Rams.
Was he with the Chargers, too, at the end of his career?
You know, I think he might have been traded, but he did, about 8 years, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, or thereabouts, with the Rams. And, of course, there are no more Rams in L.A., but apparently he was from Upper Darby High School, I believe, or Upper Darby, Pennsylvania, right outside, right on the boundary with Philadelphia.
Yep.
Yeah. he's not the best host in the league for nothing, folks.
He's here and paying attention.
Yep.
Barely.
Do you know, Steve, that Kevin was able, on his own, without the assistance of anyone else, able to line up Cappelletti for 4:30?
Yeah.
It wasn't
my
idea, but...
It was actually my idea. Yesterday.
Yes. And, you know, while we thought he was asleep during that one segment and you thought he was playing video games again and solitaire, he actually was, I think, lining up Cappelletti for your show.
No, at that point he was asleep and not paying attention. It wasn't until after the show, then plus pressure from Roger, where he finally like kicked him into gear.
Yeah, he can tell the story better than I can, but, you know, the man delivered. And that's all that
well
he
done,
said.
Kev.
Wait a minute,
well,
though. It's
well
not 4:35 yet, yeah. So you may want to hold off until 4:35.
Here comes the exciting entertainment part—the part where Kevin sweats profusely.
He's got an hour and 15 minutes or 20 minutes of nail biting time.
Merrill Reese will join us at 3:35, right?
Yes.
And then John Cappelletti at 4:35.
Correct.
Tomorrow, it looks like we're going to have, at least for a few minutes, Matt Shepard, the play-by-play voice of Eastern Michigan. We also have, over the next couple days, Corey Geiger, Neil Riddell is going to join us. So we have a lot going on over the next few days.
And
Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, we can't leave him out. That is Kevin's pipeline.
Yeah, he needs to have his Steelers fixed, doesn't he?
It's the pipeline to Pittsburgh.
I mean, this is where you're all excited.
You know, and it's an absolutely gorgeous day in the central Susquehanna Valley. And I was
Yes, it is.
And you know, I just thought to myself, it's a perfect day for football. It's a perfect day for baseball. As Ernie Banks used to say, let's play two. It's that kind of a day outside.
Well, we have a lot going on today, tomorrow, and Friday. A lot going on, not a little bit. And we're looking forward to bringing it to you here. Friday night, Shikellamy's back in action. Kevin's already nervous about that.
No, it's week two. I'm not nervous anymore. Just prepared.
Oh, I forgot.
And the Braves.
I forgot it's September.
Yes. The Braves are playing host or playing whom this week?
They're on the road at Mifflinburg.
The Wildcats.
What time do you have to leave for that?
3 o'clock in the afternoon. No, I will not have a early departure needed there.
We'll have to get Sarah Bartlett in to run the board then, Steve.
Wow. Sitting in the press box alone.
Well, excuse me, I'm not the talent that just walks in, puts the headset on with my Perrier saying, let's go. I mean, I have some work I got to do. You may have to think back a few years when you were setting things up. Now it doesn't work that way anymore. There's somebody that takes care of that for you. The wonderful Jeff Tarman takes care of that for you.
What's your point?
Yeah, Kevin needs a Jeff Tarman in his life. Is Jeff doing anything Friday night, by the way, Steve?
I can guarantee you what he's not doing.
And where he's not going to be, Mifflinburg.
He's not going to be in Mifflinburg, and he's not going to be setting up for Kevin. How long does it take you to set up?
Probably about 15 minutes or so.
That long?
15 minutes, yeah.
That long?
You wouldn't know this, would you? Mr.
I do baseball. What do you think I do in baseball?
I saw your setup for baseball. It was already set up. You were too busy hobnobbing with everybody in Billtown when I went to visit you.
Oh, for goodness sakes. People would want pictures, all right? So
give me credit for... Yes, but the $20 that you charged for them just didn't seem normal for you.
Okay. You got your beard, didn't it?
Once I caught him.
And still baseball for you as well as football?
Yes, there'll be a playoff game here Saturday night. They have the State College has the best record in the league. They'll play a road playoff game Friday night. They'll play a home playoff game here Saturday. If necessary, they have a home playoff game Sunday. And if they win that series, then they play next week. Same pattern. Game one on the road. Game two at home, game three if necessary at home.
Well, that Saturday night ought to get a little bit complicated because there's a noon kickoff in Beaver Stadium and then be some tailgaters, I imagine, left over about the start of the baseball game.
Yeah, and I'm sure they'll all be set to go and able to drive.
Exactly. They're just going to go to a baseball game.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. I mean, I know they've had meetings about that, but you're talking about – a 3.5-hour gap between the end of one game and the start of the other. So, I mean, I think at some point it thins out a little bit. They may force some people in the one parking lot to get out so they can get in there for that. And it'll be a 7:05 start, I think.
And, Steve, what type of a crowd in terms of numbers would you anticipate for something like that?
I don't know. It's the first time it's ever happened here, Bob.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know if the football game has an impact, positive or negative. I don't know. The ticket prices are, I think they put out like $16 packages for four games or something like that. Because these are extra games.
Sure.
I mean, these are extra games. So, I mean, it's like $4 a game, I mean, I don't know. Okay. I mean, there's never been a baseball playoff game here before, so I don't know. We'll find out.
Ought to be an exciting Saturday then.
No, I've had people say to me, you're going to do two games in one day? Oh, for goodness sakes. It's not surgery. This is not like sitting there on a Tuesday, I've got eight surgeries, and I get to number seven, and I say, which leg are we working on?
Even I've done two games in one day.
It's sports.
It is.
Okay? It's sports.
And
I've done fun. Oh, yeah. I mean, I've done football, basketball, football, baseball, football, volleyball, same day. So, I mean, different sports, different times. So it's no big deal. Now, I realize that me saying that is me being the fun sucker and taking it all out of the building like I always do.
Let me know when you want me to disagree.
No. So we've got Merle Reese. I just am anxious to hear what he has to say about the Eagles. And
their tackling's terrible.
He does have a cadence, doesn't he, that's just so distinct.
He does. He does, very much so. But yeah, he's a terrific broadcaster.
He really sees the field, I guess you could say.
Oh, he's a pro's pro. Yeah. He's really, really good. Really, really good. So looking forward to talking with him and then John Cappelletti after that. And then we've got Corey Geiger, Neil Riddell, Matt Shepard later in the week as well. So we have a lot going on. And then the Kevin Herr rant. Geez, we're going to have to postpone the rant today.
That's all right. It's a busy day.
And well, no, I mean, I don't like the fact when you have pent-up anger.
Well, I do want to let folks know that on Steve Jones Show's Facebook page, you can share our Penn State ticket photo and win a pair of tickets to the Penn State Eastern Michigan games. All the details available on Facebook at Steve Jones Show.
How many looks has that Facebook page had?
9,000 was the last I saw.
Wow. A lot of people anxious for tickets then.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's great. Very, very nice. And for Kevin, it's, it's September now. I mean, how much withdrawal is there for you now that August is over?
I explained it to you on Monday. It's August builds to the crescendo, and then it stays there for quite a while before it drops off somewhere around mid-March for me.
Yeah.
So Labor Day, it fell off. You're trying to come back now? All right. I got it. Wow.
He's got 6 or 7 months here of just full-out rants, I guess.
Full-out something. I'm not sure what.
Bob.
Yes, Steve.
You know why I let him do the rant of the day?
So you can take a nap.
His therapist told me it was something they thought would help.
Yeah, it's just that cathartic experience that that psychiatrists talk about, letting the rage just out there. Then you're calm and all of that before it starts building up again for in the next 24-hour cycle. But
they said the rant thing eventually would help.
Well, the medication hasn't worked, so I think you've got to go with it.
Hey, please, Bob, I'll tell you right now.
Steve, who's my favorite NFL coach?
Who's your favorite NFL? Rex Ryan.
Yeah, Rexy Audio.
We're very comfortable with Geno. I think we're confident as a football team, as a organization. We're confident that Geno's going to help get this job done.
Well, he didn't have – there was no choice.
Right.
Mark Sanchez is hurt. I mean, so it's irrelevant. I mean,
but that's my point. That's like saying, you know, we're really confident he can do the job. But, well, no kidding. First off, you drafted him. Second off, you don't have no choice.
Well, I mean, look, he has to say that. I mean, because, you know, he wants the kid to go in thinking he's got a shot at doing something good. So.
Yeah, but that's not his style. I'm just wondering if he's changing his personality. It's getting a little scary.
We'll be talking about Chip Kelly today.
Yes.
With Merrill. So we're looking forward to it. You know, a little Eagle football talk before the opener coming up. Tomorrow is the NFL opener. Now, Bob, are you a fantasy football player?
I am not. And I could care less about it for a whole variety of reasons. I'm more one of those reality-based guys, Steve. I like to see the real guys. And I understand but don't feel compelled.
You understand it, but you don't partake.
No, and one of the reasons I don't, I'll just, you know, for 20 years, I had to be a role model in my little county of Montour as the district attorney. And I didn't think it was wise or appropriate for someone in that position to engage in blatant gambling.
Oh, we don't gamble. No, there's no gambling going on.
Oh, no.
It's all in the entertainment value of watching football and choosing the right team.
You know, we had the wiretaps in place, Steve, to bust Kevin a couple years ago, but the tapes got bungled, and we were really, really ready to crack down. But no, I just I'm not
no
a fantasy.
Idea how disappointed I am to hear this.
Yeah, because we had a lot of stuff on tape, but somehow the police, you know, the technology got the best of them. So no, I just
you can't prove anything.
Exactly. And that's what.
No, like, other than the fact that we have all these shows recorded, and you brag about finishing second last year and getting cash.
You don't know what I edit out of the programs before they go up on the podcast.
But you know,
you don't know what I have here in the archives.
Yeah. That's true too. Yeah.
So I'm a huge NFL fan. I've always been an NFL fan since Y.A. Tittle and Frank Gifford and the New York Football Giants.
Yes.
I went, you know, in this part of Pennsylvania, Steve, growing up, we had cable television. And we had Channel 11 and Channel 9 out of New York City.
And Channel 5.
Yes, yep. Absolutely. And so we could get the New York sports stations. Growing up, I remember Y.A. Tittle. I remember Homer Jones and all those Giants players way back when.
Frederickson.
Yes.
Tucker Frederickson was the first overall choice in the NFL draft in 1966 out of Auburn.
I was going to say out of Auburn. And then when Bob Tucker of Hazleton, Pennsylvania and Bloomsburg State Teachers College made it with Fran Tarkenton, I continued my love with NFL, and it's unabated ever since.
Number 38,
yes.
Bob Tucker.
Bob Tucker in one game.
He led the NFL in receiving one season.
Yes. And he has the biggest set of hands, Steve, I've ever seen on a human being. And he is absolutely the most humble, nicest guy. I've been in his company numerous occasions. He'll still come back with his buddies from Bloomsburg Now University and sit in the stands and watch a football game. And he is just fun to be with. But, boy, what an athlete.
He was a fabulous, fabulous NFL player with the Giants. I thought he was just a great, great player, reliable, Pro Bowl type of guy when he was out there. Really good. I'll tell you, at some point, Bob, you have to open the door, get us during the NFL off week for like Robbie Gold in the show.
Yes, I will try that. Two quick things about Bob Tucker. At Bloomsburg State College when he played, his team, the quarterback from Shamokin, Rick Lichtel, who went down to Mechanicsburg High School and was a great high school coach, they led the nation in passing. It was some phenomenal amount. And Tucker was the second best receiver on that team. People don't realize that. Secondly, he played for the semi-pro Pottstown Firebirds before he made it to the NFL, when there was such a thing as semi-pro football.
Well, that was the Atlantic Coast Football League at the time, and the Seaboard Professional Football League. The Pottstown Firebirds, King Corcoran was their quarterback. They had a running back by the name of Johnny Land. Many of these guys ended up playing for the Philadelphia Bell in the World Football League.
Yep.
They had the Lowell Giants, the Bridgeport Jets, the Hartford Knights, the Pottstown Firebirds. It was an interesting league.
Jeez, it's like working with a human Google.
Yeah, and you know, what people don't realize is, what's the hockey movie with Paul Newman? It was filmed out in
Slapshot. It was filmed in the War Memorial in Johnstown.
Absolutely, and that league with the Pottstown Firebirds was kind of like Slapshot with football. It was just crazy.
Well, the Hansen brothers in the movie are actually the Carlson brothers who played for the Minnesota Fighting Saints in the World Hockey Association.
And weren't they played by the Stasny brothers in the movie who were like out of Czechoslovakia, if I'm not mistaken?
That's what they were supposed to be.
Oh, that's right. That's what they were supposed to be. Yes.
Yeah, but they're actually the Carlson brothers, and that's their in real life. Yes. And they ended up playing for the Minnesota Fighting Saints in the WHA.
Oh, man. See, Kevin, we actually, on rehearsed, know some really obscure, esoteric things.
I'm just sitting here and listening. You know what? If I ever get obscure sports category on Jeopardy, I want you guys whispering answers to me.
By the way, though, one of the guys that made it out of the Atlantic Coast Football League and into the NFL, two guys did, okay? Ken Stabler.
Yes, the
he was actually in the Continental Football League. But Marv Hubbard,
Oakland,
who was outstanding with the Raiders, gained over 1,000 yards for the Hartford Knights.
Wow.
In the ACFL, and they lost the championship game to Pottstown.
Gotta love it.
In a snowstorm.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout.
Like a Ford Fiesta four-door sedan, SEL, $11,995. 2006 Pontiac Solstice two-door convertible, super low miles, only $15,521. A one-owner 2011 Hyundai Sonata 2.4-liter hybrid for just $17,387. 2012 Ford Econoline cargo van, fully serviced, $18,996. 2010 Ford Explorer Sport Track 4-door, $24,352. And a 2011 Lincoln MKX with a 6-year, 100,000-mile warranty, just $34,882. Call 888-536-8017.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24-7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Next hour, John Cappelletti joins us on the show. Looking forward to that. As we gear up for another big weekend, it'll be the 40th anniversary of the 1973 team being honored, including John, 40 years ago winning Penn State's only Heisman Trophy. If they had a Heisman Trophy in broadcasting, we would gladly say it belongs to Merrill Reese. Merrill, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you, Steve. It's great to be with you.
How excited are you just to start up another one?
I am. I mean, I'm excited every year, but this year is even more exciting because it's such a fresh start, and there are so many unknowns. Anybody who thinks they know what this offense and defense is going to look like is just guessing, because I don't know, and I'm in practice every day. I do know that during the preseason they have run elements of the hurry-up, but other times they have gone into a more conventional offense. Same with the defense. They've played a lot of 30 defense, but Billy Davis tells me that it's not all 30, and there are going to be times when they go to a more traditional 40 defense.
And that makes it exciting to show up to work every day because you know what you're going to get. When he goes fast, at Oregon, he wanted to go 14 to 17 seconds of play. When they've gone quickly in practice, have they been able to replicate that?
I don't know. I think that sounds a little quick for the NFL, and I think you could have a team of big offensive linemen wheezing at the end, but they're quick. There's no doubt about the fact that they are capable of being an up-tempo offense.
How well did Michael Vick pick up the offense, and what made the difference in him getting the job, Merrill?
Well, okay, a couple of things, Steve. I think he was, until the very end, I think he was near perfect. I mean, he was really, really outstanding until the actual decision was made. He made very, very few mistakes. He threw the ball about as well as you can throw a football. And plus, he's the leader of this offense. He is the locker room veteran, and he handled that role very, very well. On the other hand, I think Nick Foles has a lot of talent, and I honestly believe he is a starting caliber quarterback.
And that's an interesting comment. That shows how much he's grown in just a year.
Well, he's big. He's 6'5". He's got a very strong arm. Does he have an arm like Vic? No, but who spins it like Michael Vick? But he has better than an average NFL arm. He's very smart. He has a commanding presence. So I think there are a lot of quarterbacks starting in this league who are less talented than Nick Foles.
I think a lot of people would love to have seen Macklin line up on the other side of Jackson, then to really see what this offense can do. How will they replace that kind of production out of Jeremy Macklin?
Well, you can't. You can't. I mean, Jeremy Macklin, in the words of James Lofton, the Hall of Fame wide receiver who has done games for the networks, he feels that Macklin was their outstanding receiver. He feels that Macklin is the substance and DeSean Jackson is the flesh. Not that DeSean Jackson isn't very dangerous and very talented also, but you cannot lose a player like Jeremy Macklin and not feel its effect. Fortunately, I think Riley Cooper has played pretty well.
What about LeSean McCoy, Merrill? How does he fit in the scheme of what they want to do? How important will he be for Chip Kelly?
I think you've got to ride LeSean McCoy. I think Shady has got to get the ball quite a few times. I mean, you're talking about a premier running back. Maybe there's Adrian Peterson in the class by himself, but I think Shady is as good as any other back in the National Football League. So I cannot imagine that a coach like Chip Kelly, who likes to use all of his resources, isn't going to lean heavily on Shady McCoy.
Was there a cut that surprised you at all, Merrill, with the Eagles? And conversely, were there a couple players where you were pleasantly surprised, like, hey, you know, I thought he played pretty well. I'm glad the kid made it.
You know, there were a couple of cuts in the last preseason game, which is supposed to be the last chance for the young players to show that they belong. The Eagles got great performances, dominating performances from linebackers Chris McCoy and Emmanuel Achiu. Well, McCoy went with the cut when they went down to 53, and then the next day they picked up another player, and Achiu was sent packing. So that was kind of surprising. I thought both had a real good shot at making the team. Danny Watkins didn't surprise anybody. I thought all of us expected that cut. It was a shame. He's a good guy. Yeah. He was a number one draft choice, but this is a league where you have to produce, and he did not produce, and now he's a Miami Dolphin.
This is also a league that is designed to allow teams to go from 4-12 to suddenly being 9-7, the way the schedule's set up, the way the draft is set up. Does that make it a far more interesting season for you because the schedule is set up in a certain way for Philadelphia plus the fresh start with Chip?
You know, I'm glad to hear you say that, Steve, because people look at me as if I'm saying something absolutely outlandish when I say that I don't know what this team's going to do. They wouldn't shock me if they won 9 games. And
right.
Probably it wouldn't shock me if they won 6 games because there are so many unknowns. I don't think the NFC East is all that strong from top to bottom. We go against the Redskins team. Eagles go against the Redskins team on Monday night. Quarterback by Robert Griffin III, who we all know is a tremendous talent. But he's a quarterback who has not taken one snap in a game since he tore his ACL last January. So he has got to show some rust. And then the question is, can Shanahan run him as the dual threat that he was last year? Is that smart when you're cutting off a very serious injury? So I don't know. I don't know what the Giants have. Giants lost a running back. They've got some weak areas. Cowboys drafted a center in the first round, which was shocking. And most of us kind of feel that Jason Garrett is up against the wall, that this could be it. And that's not a good feeling for a team to take into the season. So how the Eagles do relates directly to how these other three teams are, and that's what we're going to see starting Monday night.
And that center was Travis Frederick out of Wisconsin, whom I've watched personally the last 3 years, and I thought he was a very good college center, but there's no way in the planet, Merrill, I thought he was a first-round pick.
Surprised me. It really surprised me when you take a center in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, really, really surprising. Defensively, now we know that's an area where the Eagles have put a lot of emphasis. Did you see some payoff in the preseason that gives you some optimism that this can be a better defensive team?
I think the front seven are good. I think that Sopoaga is a nose tackle, a legitimate nose tackle. We'll see about the rookie Benny Logan. Fletcher Cox is a very good football player. He's now lining up mostly as a defensive end. They got a free agent, Steve, from Alabama, Damian Square. And he's played the nose. Now, he's a little small for that position, but he's a very, very good football player. The linebackers are good. You have D'Amico Ryans. I think that Connor Barwin was a tremendous pickup. I think that Michael Kendricks is a guy who's going to come into his own, and I'm as anxious as everybody else to see Trent Cole in game conditions.
In fact, Damian Square I saw twice play against Penn State and Alabama. Good quality college football player. I agree with you, Merrill. He's a really good pickup. Your experience in the NFL, you know, obviously each week is important, but in terms of setting the tone, what can the opening 2 weeks mean?
It's important. It's important, but it's not as critical as some people make it. I mean, Chip Kelly would probably tell you that he doesn't take Monday night as a make it or break it. I mean, what happens if you lose?
Right.
How do you come back and say, this is it, this is a game we have to win to set the tone for the entire season? You have to go out and try to be competitive, and if you win it, great. And if you don't, just move on to San Diego the next week. I think it's always good to set a good tone, to get off to a good start. But it's a 16-week NFL regular season. You certainly don't want to go 0-3, but if you end up 1-2, there are a lot of teams who started out that way and ended up in the playoffs.
What are the biggest changes you've seen in the NFL in your tenure that you think's made it a better league?
Well, I think that I don't know that it's a better league. I think that NFL football is terrific. I have always loved it. But I think it's just as good a league, and I think it's intelligent, even though I don't like it in the booth when an Eagles player gets a flag for touching a quarterback's helmet with his pinky. But I
yep.
think that the time has come for the league to be very, very cognizant of head injuries and do everything they can to prevent the kind of circumstances that we now have with poor players like Kevin Turner. So I think that's a very, very good thing. Is it as good for the game? Probably not from a spectator standpoint. We talk about the great Brian Dawkins, and certainly he's one of the great safeties to ever play the game and maybe the greatest to ever play as a Philadelphia Eagle. But a lot of his classic hits would draw penalty flags today.
There's no question about that. In fact, Penn State has a game this week against Eastern Michigan where Donald Coleman has to sit out the first half because he was hit with a targeting penalty on Saturday in their win over Howard. And so it's already having an effect on this level as well. So, I mean, you're right. From a spectator point of view and from a broadcaster point of view, it is a slightly different game because they are concerned about litigation.
It is. But on the other hand, it's a fast-paced game. It's a game with a lot of innovations. It changes from week to week. Most of the games are very, very competitive. I think it's as good as ever.
Yeah, I agree with that as well. When you get ready, Merrill, what are some of the things that when you sit down and prepare? I want to put the Redskins game in front of you because that's the game in front of you right now. What's important to you in your personal preparation and getting ready for a game that you want to convey to the listener?
Oh, I think basically there are the basics that we all worry about, having the numbers down pat so you don't have to hesitate a bit, looking at the changes of a team, trying to examine what the return of Brian Arakpo, one of the great defensive players in the game, who missed all of last season for the Redskins, is going to make to that team. Of course, the whole situation involving Mike Shanahan and RG3, and is he really ready to come back? I've heard doctors say, not the doctor who examined him, not James Andrews, but I've heard doctors who come on various shows and say 8 months is not enough time for anybody to heal completely from an ACL. So these are things you watch for. I want to see how Michael Vick really handles this offense, and can he play in this offense and not get hurt? I mean, Michael loves to go, and he doesn't slide. And that worries me because he's a tremendous talent, but his buddy Ryan used to say durability is as important as ability.
And buddy Ryan was right about that. Your experience, what does a preseason actually mean, Merrill? And conversely, because it was a new coach, new system, did actually this preseason have more importance?
I think it's important for the players to familiarize themselves with their system. It's important to get a special team together, the various special teams, so that they're cohesive from game one. But in terms of scores, in terms of overall performance, these preseason games don't mean a blessed thing.
When you wake up on a Monday morning to get ready to do that game, What are the juices like? I mean, and flowing. How excited are you? And I know I opened up with that question, but the job itself, what's the best part of the job of doing Philadelphia Eagles football?
I think you start with the fact that this is my 37th season, and I am as nervous every game, not just every opening game, but every game as I was 37 years ago, that I feel it in the pit of my stomach and I can feel it build up until the time when our producer, Joe McPeak, cues me and says 10 seconds and then goes, cues me. and I come on, and all of that goes away, and you feel as if you're floating for the next 3 hours. It's doing something that you would rather do than anything else in the world. If you ask me, and I have to tell you, Steve, I am a passionate, passionate golfer. If you ask me if I'd rather do an Eagles preseason game or play Augusta, I would have to defer to that Eagles preseason game, because that's how much this job means to me. It's just what I love to do more than anything else in the world, and the excitement and the thrill and the pleasure never diminishes.
If they gave, I'm a passionate golfer like you. In fact, I met a guy, Bob Hurd, who knows you. I talked to him at Cape Cod, and I told him if I had a chance to play Augusta or do a blue-white game, I'd do the blue-white game.
Sure, sure. That's how we feel about it. And you, by the way, do a terrific job.
Well, thanks, Merrill. That means a lot to me. Merrill, have a great time on Monday night. We'll talk to you down the road, but it's always an absolute pleasure for me to have a great football conversation with you.
Thanks, Steve. Good luck to the Nittany Lions throughout the season. I think you're going to have a very, very exciting season. I certainly was impressed with what I saw of Christian Hackenberg. He looks like the real thing, and I think that you and all of the Nittany Lion fans have a lot to look forward to.
Looking forward to it. Merrill, thank you so much. Good luck on Monday night. I can't wait to see the Eagles play the Skins.
See you, Steve.
Merrill Reese joining us on the show. We'll come back with more here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
E-A-G-L-E-S-E-O.
Eagle 107 is every game. Just so you know.
Merrill Reese, he was ready to broadcast this afternoon if the Eagles had a game.
He's absolutely ready to go. And for Kevin, the affirmation that Kevin's a great pro, but another great pro like Merrill gets nervous until they point at him to start.
I felt really good when he said that. I really did.
You know, a lot of people...
I understand I'm in the minority. I got it. Okay.
You know, a lot of people wouldn't think that about Merrill Reese. You know, 37 years doing Eagles mm-hmm. games. You know, he's done hundreds of games, and, you know, he's a seasoned pro. But, yeah, some of these guys absolutely get nervous. They get excited. Adrenaline is pumping. And you can kind of sense that in their voices. And Merle has that distinctive staccato, which he, you know, used during – that's the way he talks.
But if they actually run at the tempo that you were talking about, Steve, I'm not sure Mike Quick is going to get in two words in the broadcast.
The what?
If they run at the offensive tempo you're talking about, I'm not sure Quick is going to be able to get in more than two words in color commentary.
Maybe not, but I've talked to Jack about this. I've told Jack that if Penn State gets into a high gear tempo in NASCAR, I said, to not be afraid to jump in and talk, that I'll pick it up.
You know, I'm sure people know this anyway, but you're not saying NASCAR is a comparison. That's what they call it, right?
That's what they call the package. The package is called NASCAR.
Do they have an IndyCar package? That might be a little bit faster. Sorry, I couldn't help myself.
Well. By the way, a nice email from Carol, who sent us, "Hi, Steve and Kevin. Appreciate you doing a live show on Labor Day. Just wanted to give you a shout. Give a shout out to Diana Nyad," which, by the way, Sarah was updating what Diana Nyad was doing on the show. "She successfully completed her fifth attempt to swim from Cuba to Key West not long before you went on the air. Just a week beyond her 64th birthday, what an inspiration. She has pointed out that the psychological preparation and conditioning is just as important as the physical work she does to stay in shape for this kind of challenge. Lessons to be learned by all of us, men, women, boys, girls of all ages, and a useful life lesson for athletes as well as non-athletes in this adventure of life." And that's very, very true.
You know, Diana Nyad.
It also showed a bunch of Cubans they could make the swim.
Yeah, there'd be 27,000 right behind her. Diana Nyad was given an honorary degree at Bloomsburg University about 30 years ago, and is a Phi Beta Kappa graduate of a university in Chicago, an amazing individual and an inspirational speaker, which is what she was doing way back then. And 64 years old, and she was roaring down the Gulf Stream.
It was just tremendous what she did, an incredible accomplishment. I remember her trying before and not making it. Now to see her make it, especially at the age of 64, Carol's right, it's a real inspiration to anybody.